Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. And today, Kyle, how do you determine if someone is truly authentic? If they are real, you know, and you know me, if you've listened to this podcast, you know, I'm a word nerd. I always love words and etymologies and the origin. And, you know, it's interesting when you look mid 14th century, the word authentic, an adjective, but it was capturing the sense of something being real or accepted as factual. Like, is it real? Are they, is what I'm seeing a fact, or is it like an enigma? Like, is it real? Is this person, is what they're saying, is what they're doing, is it authentic? And you have to wrestle with that because it's through the authenticity to which someone provides that then fuels the trust.
Yeah.
If I believe that is truly you and I believe what you're saying to be authentic in line with you, then I'm going to then increase the trust. And for us, as individuals, we're always having to assess, you know, is this authentic or not? And in today's world, you have to really process it even more so because there's so many different stories and lenses and perspectives and people say one thing and they do another. And there's all this different thing that, I mean, even just in the news cycle, what's real, what's not, what's fact, 100%. What's not, you know, and like you're always having to wrestle with this. But in the human side, from a leadership standpoint, when we step out in leadership, we are trying to establish trust. You can trust me to help lead and guide you. That the things I'm sharing as a coach, as a facilitator, as a teacher, that you can trust me. And I want to be authentic, real, that helps increase that trust. But how do we, when we are then assessing others, and even just to build it ourselves, how do we make sure that it is authentic? How do we make sure the people we are following are authentic? How do we make sure we are showing up authentic? And I've got a strategy to kind of test it, which I'll share here in a moment. But just when you think about this term authentic, what comes to mind, Kyle, this need for us to be authentic? And then I'll share kind of my little lens that I use to evaluate who I think or what I think is authentic.
Yeah. You know, I love this conversation and the topic. And for me, it's almost gotten to the point, I would say, over the last, you know, 5-10 years, when I hear or see the term authentic or vulnerable, there's like my antennas go up a little bit because I'm questioning whether this is actually authentic or vulnerable, because I think so many people have used those two terms as a way to shine a light on themselves, thus making it not authentic and not that vulnerable. And so that's kind of where I am with it. And then I wrestle with that too, as well as like, sometimes I don't share a lot of like personal stuff on social or anything like that. And I just don't feel like it's the place for it. But then when I see other people do it, I'm like, okay, maybe they are being authentic, but I don't know. And then I guess I come back to two things. Is one is, what's the frequency of the behavior of the post or the motivation behind it? Like, is this a once in a while type of thing, or is it a everyday type of thing? And then the consistency of their behavior, if you know them on a personal level, like, does that match up with what's going on socially versus personally? And like, no one's perfect. I mean, and I'm certainly not going to hold anyone to that standard, because I think we all fall short. I fall short of that sometimes. But those are the two things I think about, is, you know, trying to analyze it, is the frequency of the type of post, the motivation behind it, and then the consistency of the behavior.
I love that you said your antennas go up when someone says, I want to be authentic here. Like, you're already not being it. You're already not being it. It already feels disingenuous.
Yeah, if you have to preface it, to me, it feels disingenuous. I don't know if that's just me, but it's just, I mean, it's the way I feel, like I've just been conditioned that way over the past couple of years, because it's like, you know, it's like someone giving, we're in the holiday season. So it's like giving someone a gift. I kind of view it in this lens. Like, you give someone a gift, but only giving them a gift so later on you can ask for a favor in return, or almost be like, you know, remember that one time when I did this for you? Well, that's a little disingenuous. Like, you weren't really trying to do that to be kind or helpful. So almost get that same kind of feeling with these posts.
And, you know, and it's interesting. It's interesting because, like, when you just shared what you just shared, like, I've experienced that before, you know, and it makes you then begin to think, like, all right, was that behavior authentic and genuine in the first hand? Because then they flipped it later, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's where I land on this. And I've said this for many, many years, and it's kind of my barometer of sorts when I am assessing the authenticity of people. And it goes like this. Do the people closest to you have the same feeling about you as people furthest from you? And do the people furthest from you have the same feelings and opinions about you as the people closest to you? You see, there are tendencies where people, that there's a distance there, they have a perception of the person. Oh, this is such a good person. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're this. Oh, they're that. Well, it could be true. It very well could be true. But to your point of the frequency and consistency, that's where we then fall into this other side of the spectrum. We're like, okay, well, if that really is them, then the people closest to them, that are around them all the time, that see them intimately, see the good, the bad, and the ugly around them, would they share the same sentiment? Would they share the same sentiment? And if they can, and if they don't, then there's a disconnect in the authenticity. It's not real, because authenticity has to be connected to one's consistency. It has to be, right? Because if I only do it sometimes, it's like, then I'm almost putting on a show. I'm like displaying it at favorable moments. Whereas authenticity is like, this is who I am. This is how I am. This is where, what you get with me. You can ask my wife. You can ask the team that I spend three sessions with only, you know, versus the team that I spend, you know, a whole year with, and the people that have known me for years. Like, this is who I am. And when you start to see this consistency amongst the people that know you best, in addition to the people that know you the least, and when I say the least, I'm more so referencing, they see the highlights. They see the portraits out there. And that's why... Yeah. It really has to be a combination, because on one end, you could portray outward things that you're not reflecting inward. And what you're then portraying outward is not a glimpse into one's authentic nature if you're not exhibiting that inward. You know, I remember hearing once a mentor said, never let your brand become better than the man. And it makes me think of that, right? Like, that's totally disingenuous. You're not authentic if, like, the brand is promoting one thing, but the people that know you as a man, oh, it's a completely different story. Right. And there are people in my life that ironically will give off impressions like, oh, I keep it real. I'm real. This is who I am, but it's not.
Right.
But it's not, because
you see through it.
because I know stories, and I'm not saying anyone's perfect, but like there's trends, patterns, recognition, it's repeated, right? Like, mm-hmm. and it kind of then speaks like, no, this wasn't isolated. Well, like, hold on, what you're saying over there isn't matching what I'm hearing over here. And you've got to wrestle with that. And I mean, you know, I've been in situations before, like, you know, the little example you shared, Kyle, where, you know, someone like wants to give off this authentic, I'm here to help you, man. I'm here to help, right? And authentically, you're like, wow, that's really good. Like, I like it. But on the backside, they're like keeping tabs of everything. And then they use it against you later.
Right. Exactly.
And it's like, yeah. Oh, no, were you actually genuine and authentic in what you were doing? Or was this part of just a bigger ploy?
Yeah. And then you're processing that every interaction going forward and questioning the motive of it. And that's always going to be in the back of your mind. It's kind of like, I was picturing the example of like trust in a sense, like when you're trying to establish that authenticity is, you know, it takes, you know, it's people putting up Christmas lights, for example, or going up a ladder, anyone going up a ladder, it takes several steps to get up to the top of that ladder, but it only takes one of those missteps to fall all the way back down. And sometimes, you know, we have to keep that in the back of our mind with, you know, people we coach and, you know, the people that maybe we're trying to influence, especially, you know, the young athletes, is always remembering that our consistency matters because it only takes like one of those situations for that level of trust to fall completely through. And today's generations of young people are so good at sniffing it out. And they know very quick. That's one of the skills that the kids we work with that they really have that people don't give them credit for is they can see through things really, really quickly.
They so really can.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, always processing that is, you know, how are we showing up in that way to where people aren't questioning the motives we have or, you know, the consistency of our character.
And Kyle, I'll be honest, that this is a very active thought in my mind. This need to be consistent and authentic. I mean, I think about it all the time, you know, and I think about it with all the teams that we work with. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I always say like, hey, I hope you experience the same version of me every time, pretty much the same version of me every time. They're like, yeah, you know, like, but then I also want to make sure that like, if you meet my family, my girls like will echo the same thing.
Right.
You know, and I'm very conscious of that and certainly not perfect by any means. But very aware. And, you know, I think about it in much regard because my first boss ever was a guy named John Motley. I worked for a company called John Motley Associates. And I've credited him for a variety of different things in my life, like professionally. He definitely, I've said he was the best networker I've ever met. He was the best relationship builder I've ever met. He was one of the smoothest communicators I'd ever met.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's leadership nugget. Be crazy. And set some wacky ambitions and dreams. Don't worry if your adventure, dreams, ambitions look totally different from others, even more crazy. One crazy one was set by Truett Cathy with his goal of being closed on Sundays, closing on the busiest day of the week in the restaurant business. He then called it his best business decision he ever made. That doesn't even make sense. Irrational. Yet he had purpose behind his adventure. He wanted people to get some guaranteed rest each week. He wanted to glorify God by giving his team time to worship if they chose on this day. He wanted to honor his life principle of a good name over great riches. Have fun thinking outside the box with purpose. Maybe thinking bigger than even achievable in this lifetime. It may be the best decision you ever make. Now, let's jump back to the episode.
When I was 25, I just graduated college, got married. I met him at my wedding. He was friends with my in-laws. They were in the same industry. And I met him at the wedding, and he's always working deals. He's always doing stuff, right? So like at the wedding, it's like, man, it's great to meet you. And they had an opening. We had 300 plus people at our wedding. Hindsight, way too many. Sidebar. It was ridiculous. Right. Okay. Nonetheless, like, and I'm an outgoing guy. I'm energetic, you know, and he's watching me just kind of work the crowd, right? Of like friends and all that. And he's in sales and marketing. So like, he's looking for a young salesperson. So he comes out to me. He's like, hey, I don't know you that well. Obviously I'm John Molly. I'm here, you know, friends with your in-laws. Heck, congratulations. I'm like, oh, thank you. He's like, I heard you just graduated college. I'm like, yeah. He's like, listen, when you get back from your honeymoon, let's talk. I got an opening. I want to talk with you about joining the team. I was like, fantastic. Cause I knew when I got back from the honeymoon, I was going to have to start job hunting. It worked out amazing. Right. So I say all that because when I got a job with him, man, I soaked up everything. I mean, he was such a great communicator that I would actually ask, he had an assistant that he wasn't a computer guy. So she would read all his emails to him and she would type the emails back, but he'd speak them.
Oh, nice. He was ahead of the time, kind of.
Yeah, like literally, she would send him the emails via fax. Literally, she'd fax him all the emails. He'd come back in and like they'd meet twice a week and he'd reply to all his emails verbally while she typed and transcribed them and sent them because he wasn't a keyboard computer guy.
Oh, wow.
And I would always ask him, I'd say, can I sit in while you transcribe all your emails, facilitate them all? Just because his wording was so good. Like it was like literally listening to like hours of just like communication masterclass. Mm. But I say all this to say, man, he was just incredible with people. And he was like a smooth talker. And he was like so relationship oriented that you could almost say like a schmoozer of sorts, like over the top. So the whole first year, I was always hesitant actually to fully trust him. Cause I'd be like, this guy's too smooth. Like he's too smooth. Like he's just too smooth.
Yeah, what's the ulterior motive?
Yeah. I'm just like, there's no way this guy is this good all the time. You know what I mean? Like I just had reservations. Like there's no way this is an act. It's gotta be an act. It's gotta be a show. It's gotta be a front that he's putting on. And it wasn't until he asked Samantha and I to house sit his house one weekend. His family was going to go away. They had dogs, wanted us to help watch the house and all that. And he said, hey, would you be willing? That we went to his house. And I got a chance to meet his family for the first time. Officially, right? Mm-hmm. And he had four kids and a wife. And I'm just watching him interact with the family. I'm watching the family interact with him. I'm talking to his wife about him and just Mike's, you know, just get natural conversation. And man, it was all aligned. It was all aligned.
Yeah, it's like a breath of fresh air.
What?
When you see that, that's like a breath of fresh air. It's provides the hope that you're looking for in people when you have people where it aligns like that.
They were saying the same things I was feeling that I believed mm-hmm. about, right? You know, and like, and it was at that moment my relationship with him, like, elevated. I liked him, don't get me wrong, but like, oh, it went deeper. I was like, this guy's really authentic. Like, man, this is who he is, you know? And I think about it all the time in my life. And I think you as a coach, as a leader, as a professional, you should be thinking about it all the time in your life as well. Do the people closest to you tell the same stories, describe the same character as people that you give off a front and give them your best? Or is there a major disconnect between those two? Right? Do the people you interact with briefly, maybe a coworker every once in a while, maybe your boss, maybe social media, do they have a perception that is not aligned to the people that know you well? You know, and for me, I think about it all the time. I really do. And I think it's been one of the things that's been very helpful for me in, you know, growing my success is like, I am certain 100%, Kyle, that when I enter into a room, and I'm displaying the energy and the charismatic nature, just my personality, and green this and lead them up that, there are probably walls up, without a doubt. There are walls up of, is this dude for real? Is this dude like for real? Like, there's no like. I'm hesitant. I'm reserved. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. Like, I think he's putting on a front. He's paid to be here, and he's putting on a show. And I think one of the things that has helped the trust is that they experience it, but then they can go around to whoever they want to talk to.
Right.
And they'll hear the same story.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they come back and they're like, so I think this guy really is. Like, I think this guy really is authentic. And now, because of that authenticity, I'm leaned in. Oh, and my trust is elevated up. It's the key.
I think that's a challenge that, you know, leaders in any industry are facing and that they'll always face. You know, I'm from Missouri, and our state motto was always the show me state. And I feel like a lot of the times when people look at like leaders, whether they're, you know, a speaker, they're a president of a company, or they're a teacher or a coach, like you're leading a group of people. It's always now it's like people are. They've almost been conditioned by the downfalls of others because, you know, we just are programmed to think about the negative and react that way, to where people are approaching it always with a show me type of mentality. Like, I'm not going to believe it at first. You know, you and I were talking about some pushback that we get with, you know, educators in the space. And there's always this hesitancy of like, I'll believe it when I see it, or I'll believe it when I experience it enough. Like, maybe not the first time, because everyone's good on the first time, or everyone can be good one time. But I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head talking about just like the circles of influence throughout your life. Can they consistently say that you're that type of person? I think that's what we got to strive to be. And, you know, always thinking about that as a parent. That's the tough thing is, sometimes your kids will challenge you in ways that other kids you teach or coach or work with don't. And then they'll remind you of how consistent that you need to be, you know, in those moments. And then, you know, that's a great opportunity to kind of look at all those other areas of life as well.
I think it also exhibits incredible emotional intelligence. If you think about emotional intelligence, the top two factors of it, self-awareness and self-management.
Yeah.
Can you manage yourself to display your best at all times? Right. Not saying you won't have a dip, you know, that's human. But like, generally speaking, can you manage yourself in such a way that, you know, the people that get your best is a regular occurrence, not a rarity, or not something you have to kind of put on and put off? And, you know, can you manage yourself in that way? And, you know, it's always interesting. Like, I'd always get so frustrated before we did all, before I even jumped in to lead them up. One of the side things I had, I was a credentialed media member covering a lot of the sports teams locally. And the ones that I covered the most were the Wizards. And this would always happen, and it always make me cringe, where like media members, when we'd be in like the media room eating or, you know, waiting for the players to come in and stuff like that, these reporters would talk about the character of some of the players as if they like know them like that.
Yeah. Like, they're there with them, going to the games, to and from practices.
Yeah. And like, but they'd say things like, oh, no. Yeah. You know, I've had a chance to talk to him a couple of times. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. And I'm like, hold up. Like, you think that is the determining factor? Those brief couple of interactions, I think there's more to the story. And you'd often see these like players engaging in behaviors and doing different things after hours and post practice and on their off season. And these reporters would be like, it's crazy. Cause I was like, you know, it shocked me because
I always thought
they were such a good guy. They've always been such a good guy to me. I'm like, You see them for 10 minutes a week. You talk for 10 minutes. Like, that's no. How do you know he's really that person? It's when the people who know him the most say the same thing, or when he's able to do it consistently. Now, all of a sudden, now there's an authenticity, but they think that they could capture it just in those brief interactions. I don't think that tells the whole story.
No, it doesn't. It's called, I used to teach sociology, and that was like my favorite class to teach because it was basically just like studying human behavior and interaction in groups. And the term was dramaturgy, and it's basically
described. What was it?
Dramaturgy. And it, like you're just explaining there, it's stating that we as people, we present ourselves as actors on a stage. So in those moments where like the athletes are getting ready to have an interview with the press or the media, or they know that they're going to be around, they're going to present themselves in a light that they want to be portrayed in. It's like an actor going out on stage for a scene. But then, you know, you have a different interaction where maybe it's just players in the locker room. Well, okay, then it might be a little bit different there. So I think that that's a thing that, you know, when we talk about emotional intelligence is being able to recognize that and understand that we all have these masks that we're putting on at times to fit the event, the circumstance, or the perception that we want others to have of us.
That's the word, man. That dramaturgy. That's the word. Cause that's what's being played out on social media. It's like, it's an act. It's a play.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be careful not to fall victim to the trap, you know, and really assess it. But going back to us as leaders, it's just a simple question. Do the people that know you the least, i.e. the ones that see the highlights, right? The outskirts of your life that are usually presented well, favorable.
Right.
Do the people that view you through that lens, do they've got the same perception of you as the people that know you the closest? And how wide is that gap? Is it narrow? Is it wide? And I think it the narrowing or widening of those two gaps could almost be the authenticity spectrum playing out in real life.
Yeah.
If it narrows and it's almost identical, authentic. As it widens, less authentic.
Yeah, it's a good metaphor.
And just wrestle with that, you know, and that's going to be really, you know, consistency. We speak on it so much in the green team, the need to be a consistent leader because you lose credibility when you don't. And I think your trust loses credibility when that gap of that spectrum is widened. So how do you know when someone's authentic? Listen, I believe it's when people that know you the most have the same relative perspective of you and perception as those that know you the least and vice versa. And it really demonstrates your consistency of who you are and how you show up day in and day out. Kyle, appreciate you as always. Hey, everyone listening, thank you so much. Till next time, we are out. Have fun and lead them up.